Mindset is you being the CEO of your business. And this is actually one of the predominant concepts that starts this new book, Do Not Write a Book Until You Read This One. Being the CEO of your business essentially means like you're calling the shots, you're the main representative of your book. You are not just the author, you are also going to be the marketer, you're going to be the promoter, you're going to be the keynote speaker, you're going to be the financial investor. Everything that goes into a business actually also goes into a book. So you better have the CEO hat on when you're approaching this endeavor, because it's a long game and it's going to require confidence and vision and a lot of the things that a really successful CEO has in their toolbox is going to be required of you as an author if you're really wanting your book to be successful.
Welcome to The Author's Leverage, the podcast where we explore the journeys that await you beyond your book. I'm your host, Parshel Tashi, and in each episode, we connect with best-selling authors, publishing experts, and industry pros to unveil the pathways that enable you to leverage and amplify your book for extraordinary impact and income. Whether you're a seasoned author or just embarking on your authorpreneur adventure, prepare to be inspired. Today, we're joined by a guest who's going to share some invaluable insights with us. But before I introduce them, I want to invite you to download your copy of our ebook and its companion digital workbook. It's called 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. It's a comprehensive guide to supercharge your author journey, and you can find it below this episode, along with where you can connect with us on social media, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Now, let's dive into today's episode and take a sneak peek into the future of your success as an author. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Author's Leverage. Today's going to be a fun conversation. I'm talking to a friend, I would say an amazing referral partner in this area of helping support authors. I'm excited to chat today with Alyssa, also known as Ally and AY. She's an award-winning author, international book coach, developmental editor, and ghostwriter. And she's the founder and CEO of The Right Place, Right Time, is W-R-I-T-E, Right Place, Right Time. Ally, I'm super excited to have this conversation. Just to cue the audience up, I really want for, and I'm excited to chat around the idea of foundation, right? When it comes to writing and publishing a book, foundations like and the fundamentals have to be in place. And it actually means that you're setting up to have a really strong finish when you have that foundation. So I'm excited for this conversation. Ally, thanks for joining me again on The Author's Leverage. I think we've had some other conversations before. I don't know if they've been recorded or not, but they should have. But
yeah,
here we are today to record this. But
we're recording day sweet beats, even if we've missed the chance in other opportunities. Although I think you've come on to Open Book Broadcasts, which is kind of a podcast-like thing, right? I've been on Author's Leverage before. We did that panel that you were on back in September of 23. Yeah. So yeah, we've talked a lot. So yeah, let's see what new stuff we can offer everybody today.
Absolutely. And I just want to drop as well, Ally has a new book that is starting out, that's coming out in March, called Do Not Write a Book. Just want to pause there. Do not write a book.
Yeah, until you read this one.
Until you read this one. I was going for the dramatic pause. You know what I mean? Do not write a book. I figured it's such a brilliant way to lean into this conversation, again, around foundations and what it means to be successful as an author when it comes to your work and being proud of your work. Would love for you just to share, start off a little bit about your journey. How did you get into this space of becoming a book coach and helping authors?
Okay. Ironically enough, it begins with a foundation, which is basically to say that I have been a lover of words and a lover of writing since I could hold a pencil and I was learning my alphabet in kindergarten. And I've really made the study of writing almost like my entire life's journey, including going and getting a bachelor's degree in creative writing undergrad, and then getting a master's of fine arts degree in creative nonfiction in graduate school, as well as an English composition certificate in grad school as well. And I have a foundation in terms of basic writing skills, as well as creative writing skills, and formally educated in that capacity. And then as I got older, I started to tack on kind of other experiences, if you will. So I had an internship in grad school working with a children's book author who was self-published. And then eventually after grad school, I was working in academic publishing for a few years. I was the president of a nonprofit writing organization here in Vermont for several years as well. And all of those things happened before I went out on my own, which was April of 2019. And I organically found my way over into book coaching, ghostwriting, because my business originally started as content writing and copywriting. And as a content writer and copywriter, I figured out as I was going that what I was ultimately doing for people was ghostwriting their long form marketing content. So LinkedIn articles, blog posts, weekly emails, and really taking on the ownership of their voice, their brand, their mission, and speaking directly to their consumer, right? Or their reader, right? Because these people are consuming that content. So moving organically into ghostwriting was pretty easy because I was technically already doing it, just not in book format. And so one client who I was writing long form content for on a regular monthly basis, basically was my first ghostwriting client for a book. She said, "You already know me. You already know all the things. Will you write my first business book?" And that's how that kind of kicked off in the direction. And that was about 2020. And her book came out, I think, January of 21. And simultaneously, as I was working on her book, I was working on my first book, Dear Universe, I Get It Now, Letters on the Art and Journey of Being Brave and Being Me. And that was a memoir. And as I was working on that book, I got connected with a woman who wanted to write her memoir the following year. And she wanted me to guide her in that process. And so there was just this natural evolution for me of moving from content writing and copywriting into full-on book coaching and ghostwriting. And once I did that, I knew that's exactly where I was supposed to be and where I was supposed to play. But it came after a really long journey of writing and exploring and learning and being in a bunch of different spaces to build up my foundation of skills and expertise in order to really step into those roles and do that with confidence and ease.
I love that. And what really stands out to me about what you just said is, again, foundation, but essentially there is so much of a muscle that's built up in you that allows you to see words, play with words, and then communicate them on behalf of another person and support someone in doing that. And I really love how, like, you're a copywriter and you did content writing for folks. And that's a certain style of writing. It really is, have to be connected to speaking to that person, whomever it might be. And that's just such a skill. I just want to say that I'm a fan. I'm like, definitely a girl on that one for sure, because it's such a unique bridge. And I love that's a lane into how you're supporting folks in creating nonfiction work.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I would actually be a better content writer and copywriter now than I was then, because as a business owner, as I've evolved and re-messaged or repositioned my own copy and have had to learn differently how to speak to my audience and how to sell using language, I feel like my skills are different than they were when I was first coming into it as both a new business owner and also as like a green and inexperienced content copywriter. Because truthfully, I was a good writer, but the style or strategy of content writing and copywriting was new to me. I just happened to be a better writer than the clients that I was working with, in all honesty. I was a couple steps ahead of them. It worked out. They loved what I wrote. It wasn't that it was bad. It's just that I probably am not the greatest that other people out there are. And I would be better at it now because of what I've learned as a business owner. But that said, having done the content writing and copywriting for those clients actually also makes me stronger in my capacity now as a book coach and ghostwriter, because that's all basically promotional stuff. Mm-hmm. And as an author, you better know or feel comfortable promoting yourself and doing all that promotional stuff, because the book's not going to sell itself. So what I was able to learn through content writing and copywriting about building an email list and nurturing that email list and looking at open rates and considering backlinks and SEO and all these other things actually makes me not just somebody who can help someone with the words and meaning and organization of those ideas, but also like somebody who's got my eye on the greater strategy and greater vision and can say, hey, we can't just pay attention to this draft. We have to pay attention to the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is actually a part of what I teach when it comes to the foundations of writing a book.
Gotcha. It just speaks to the power of not going about this process by yourself. Like, yeah. Someone else, it's way better to have someone else hold the space with you. And like you said, just to even be mindful of the vision of where your work is going and what you're wanting to convey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when we talk about having a foundation, what is that all about? What do you mean by having a strong foundation when it comes to writing a book?
I'm so glad that you're asking this question, because I don't want people to think that when I say strong foundation, strong finish, I mean like fundamentals of writing. being a good writer is helpful, but you don't have to classify yourself as a good writer to be an author. You don't have to define yourself as a writer to be an author. So when I say strong foundation, I definitely don't mean that you need to understand the structure of a sentence and what a conjunction is and what plural possessive means. And I'm not necessarily talking about your English class grammar rules or the things that you got marked down on your papers with the red pen. What I'm talking about is strategy, mindset, and the makings of a good book. And strategy is really understanding, okay, what do you want to do with this in the long term? How is this book going to help you? How is it going to help your reader? What's your motivation for writing this book? What's going to make it different and stand out from other books that are like it? And how is it going to play in the marketplace? All of those things are important to know before you write the book, right? Sitting down and just being like, yeah, this will be good enough. It isn't a strategy, right? You need to have an understanding of who you're trying to reach, what you're trying to say, how that differs from other books that are already out there, right? So that you can position it and therefore reach or achieve the things that you're setting out to, right? And then of course, needing to know what are you trying to achieve, right? So that's all rolled into strategy. Mindset is you being the CEO of your business. And this is actually one of the predominant concepts that starts this new book, Do Not Write a Book Until You Read This One. Being the CEO of your business essentially means like you're calling the shots. You're the main representative of your book. You are not just the author. You are also going to be the marketer. You're going to be the promoter. You're going to be the keynote speaker. You're going to be the financial investor. Everything that goes into a business actually also goes into a book. So you better have the CEO hat on when you're approaching this endeavor because it's a long game and it's going to require confidence and vision and a lot of the things that a really successful CEO has in their toolbox is going to be required of you as an author if you really want your book to be successful, right? So that's the mindset piece. And the third thing is like the actual makings of a good book, right? So it's not even that 100% of your foundation is being a good writer. It's one third of the equation. So the makings of a good book breaks down into good writing, focused writing, understanding who you're talking to and the promise that you're making them, especially in the nonfiction space, right? You're writing your thought leadership book or your framework or something that aligns with your business. Knowing who you're trying to talk to and what you're promising them is like the center point for which the rest of your book surrounds itself. You need to have that kind of in mind when you're writing. And then you have to think about things like good titles and how those titles are hooks to capture their attention, how your subtitle is keyword rich for visibility, how your packaging, right? So colors, typography, cover design, front and back works towards getting that book into the hands of readers. And so you have to have all three of these things working in order for you to ultimately reach success on the other side.
Wow. I think the biggest one that stood out to me is the mindset.
Yeah.
Because your book basically becomes a business of its own. It requires a cycle. It requires attention and support if you want it to continue to live on. And so that to me, I see is so big when it comes to having a book. And it is going to open doors for you, but who's doing that? Or who's in the seat of driving that? We can't ignore that. And I think that usually is oftentimes a surprise for some folks, if you will. Like, if I put this book out, I spent this much on this book and nothing's happening.
Yeah, the whole idea of build it and they will come. No. I think that there's a misconception with a lot of first-time authors that once the book is put online or in a brick and mortar, that the publisher has done the job of getting the right data in the right places for people to just go and search for your book and then find it. The problem is that nobody's going to search for it necessarily if they don't know that it exists. And if your title and your subtitle and the metadata and keywords with the book are not rich enough, then even if somebody was searching for something that was similar to your book might not show up if that work hasn't been done accurately. There is a much greater thing here than just writing the book and then expecting that somebody is out there wanting it and needing it. And then through osmosis, knowing that it exists. Number one, publishers are, this is not like the turn of the century when individual authors had publicists, right? Like publishers are engines that are getting the books into the right places and making it available, but not necessarily making it known that it's available, right? There's a big difference, making it available or making it known that it's available. Making it known that it's available, right, is marketing and promotion. And that is solely now really on the author's shoulders, almost in all of the publishing settings, unless you are paying for a higher package in those independent or hybrid models. Or on the traditional side, you're already a big name that's already selling and you're like a sure thing. And then they're funneling all their marketing dollars over to you to promote that next book because they don't want to lose money on the deal. So you also have to be aware of the space that you're playing in. But if you're going to self into your hybrid, like you need to be prepared to promote and let people know that book exists. And if you're aligning your book with your business, you've already got an audience that should be ripe to what you're putting out there. Because your ideal reader and your ideal audience should be very similar, if not the same. And so if you're already generating content and building a platform around what you do, like your area of expertise, your offer, whatever, it should be a nice bridge to promoting your book to that same audience. But the one thing that you can't do is be silent.
Yeah, that's probably the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, if you don't talk about it, nobody knows, right? So it's no different. CEO mindset, right? So you're the business owner. If you don't say, I have a business, nobody knows that you have a business,
that's right? True.
If you don't say, I offer coaching, nobody knows you offer coaching. So you just like putting yourself out there and adding maybe picture of the author of into the footer of your email or burying it in the summary of your LinkedIn summary or profile might be saying that you've written a book, but not necessarily in a loud way that people are able to hear, see, or notice. And then, of course, we also have the mistake of, I did put it out there once. How many messages do we get inundated with in our profiles? Like, I'm on there pretty regularly, and there's still stuff that I know that I'm missing because of the sheer speed at which new material is going up onto a thread. So you saying that you've got a book once, like you're missing big opportunity for people to know that you've got a book, right? So you have to keep talking about it. We keep talking about our businesses because that's the only way we produce sales, right? Only way we convert leads, keep having conversations, keep meeting with connections, keep putting stuff out there on our blogs and on our social media, keep showing up to networking events. It is no different. You got to keep showing up for that book every single day. So yeah, it might seem like the longer journey with getting the thing written and finally getting it to publication, but truthfully, the journey is only beginning once the book is available for somebody.
Exactly. That's when it starts. And you're right now with your book.
Yeah, that's when it starts, like promoting it. Yeah.
And with your book in particular, do not write a book until you read this one. What inspired that? Because, you know, what I think about with books as well is that it's a different, it's a specific type of learning asset, if you will. This is like a terminology that I've been diving into and teaching more on. And defining a learning asset as a tool that bridges the gap between your thought leadership and expertise and the readers or your students or customers' tangible results and achievements, growth and achievements. So I definitely see what you've written to be that tool, right? Someone who's wanting to have a strong foundation before they even start. What were some other inspirations for you around writing this book and what you intend to bridge the gap for?
Yeah. So I love the story of how this book came to be. As Parshall, but your audience might not. So I do this live show that streams to Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube called Open Book Broadcast. Last year, I had a number, or actually it was 2 years ago now, had a number of individual guests into one-to-one interviews that had anything to do with writing and publishing. And I brought on my now co-author, Bridget McGowan Hawkins, who runs Press 49, as a guest to talk about hybrid and independent publishing. And it was after the interview was done that we were just sitting, hanging out in the studio of StreamYard. And we were like, we were more on fire when the camera was now off than when we were like live. And we were talking about what we called at the time this trifecta, that with working with aspiring or first-time authors, we wish that they knew three basic things, right? One, how to look long-term ahead of time. Two, CEO mindset, that their book is really a business. And three, how to make money off of their book and understanding the actual ROI and the way to use your book as a tool for revenue. And then, of course, one of us, and we debate on which one of us said it, But one of us was like, hey, this would be a great book. And then the other one was like, let's do it. Let's write the book. Let's write the book that first-time authors need and put all the material that we can think of into one-stop shop. Because one of the things that's out there is you can get a book on marketing a book. You can get a book on just publishing a book. You can get a book on. And we wanted a place where aspiring authors could get the nuts and bolts in one desk reference that was tangible and digestible and applicable, and also would help them avoid common pitfalls that we were seeing all the time with first-time authors. So we were really trying to give them access to information, lots of value, without having to not only be overwhelmed by the information, but be overwhelmed with where to find the information. Because if you Google one little aspect of writing a book, you're going to get thousands of results. And then you got to weed through which one of them are reputable and they might contradict one another. And then it's like first-time authors already have the fear of putting their words out there. We don't also want them to then be contending with not really knowing who to trust, where to look, what's right, what's wrong. So we were like, let's write the book on it. Let's write the book that we want to see sitting like next to them on the desk as they're working on their book, highlighting, underlining, dog-earing, referring back to all of the things so that they basically got like a guide that's with them along the way. And one of the things that I think is really neat about this book is that we've included these note pages at the back of each chapter so that people really can write right inside the book, capture those thoughts, capture those ideas, get involved with the material because they'll be better for it and their book will be better for it in the long run.
That's amazing. And I also, I think I got a bit of a sneak peek of the book itself in one of the manuscripts. So I can say that the way that the book is written, if I can just share, it feels like you're talking to a friend. Both Allie and Bridget really give a tone, especially Bridget, this tone of, look, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me give you the real on this. I just love how open it is. And it really is a piece of work that can honestly and genuinely guide someone through all of these major foundations. And they do hit on all these foundations that are so important, right? The mindset, the strategy within your business, and then understanding the ways that you can leverage your book. That's one of my favorite words. But what you can do to make money from the book, I think that it's huge and it's a beautiful piece of work. And to see the cover, I was like, wait, what? That's amazing. Like, I remember in some of the final stages you guys were in. So it's just so exciting to see. And I wanted to make sure that I shared that it's really well done. There's a ton of references and there are also a lot of like glossary thing that kind of gives you nuts and bolts around the language that is necessary to understand. It's just such a really complete piece of work. Congrats to you guys on what's happening and how it's coming about. So that's exciting. I do want to talk a little bit really quickly as we wrap up is you mentioned, of course, one of the other key trifecta is, okay, how am I going to make money from my book? Mm-hmm. And there are tons of different ways that can happen. I'm curious, as we consider the future, right? Let's say 2025, how do you anticipate in seeing the publishing space and all, like what the author space will look like, especially as it relates to how they're able to leverage their book or make money from their book?
Yeah, there are things that I hope for. Things that I hope for authors by 2025 is, number one, they recognize how many other different ways they can turn their book into other medium or media, right? Their book can translate into marketing content for at least a year, if not longer. Their book can translate to social media snippets. Their book can translate to audio podcasts, right? Their book can translate to beautiful digital workbooks, such as the one that you create, and allowing readers to really interact with the material in a totally different way than having to write into the margins of a book and really implement what they're learning. The content of their book can be a whole series of videos on YouTube. It can be turned into t-shirts. It can be turned into bags. It can be turned into the thing that you send leads when you're trying to prove your expertise. I think last year, at the end of the year, for Thanksgiving, I came up with my first book, Dear Universe, that came out in 2020. I've loved finding new ways to reinvigorate that book, right? Because it's old, but it's not dead. And so I had been listening to the readers of that book who are like, is there ever going to be an actual journal? And then my team and I sparked this new vision of, what if there was a whole box that was about the book or related to the book? So I came up with the Bravery Box. I customized a box that looks exactly like the cover. and put the book in it. I developed an unofficial companion journal on Canva that I had four color printed at a local printer. I developed a card deck with bravery boosters that come from the book or expand off of the book. And then I also added fun things like stickers and pencils and permission slips into this box, right? So people can buy the book if they want, or they can buy the whole damn bravery box for a separate amount and get three times as much value, right? So additional merchandise. I think one of my power partners recently told me that she has used, I think, bookfunnel.com to take chapters of the book and use them as like individual like lead magnets. So she talks to a prospect, the prospect's like, I'm really struggling with this one aspect. And she's like, oh, I have a chapter on that. And she sends them just the one snippet. So now the client gets free value. She gets to show her expertise, but also in a way, she's making a pitch for them to buy the whole book, because if they love that one chapter, why won't they buy that whole book? Beyond anything else, I think what I want people to have figured out by 2025 is that book sales or revenue from your book is not a one-to-one ratio. And we talk about this in Do Not Write a Book Until You Read This One. People think, oh, I've spent $10,000 on my book. If I then sell X number of copies at the $29.99 retail price, then I will have made back my investment. There are two problems with this way of thinking. One is that you don't make back a full $29.99 on the sale of your book. You make back a percentage of whatever's left off of that sale after everybody else gets paid for their portion. So your $29.99 at the end of the day is going to look like $3 if you're lucky. Okay. So that's the first, that's like the first problem that's wrong. Yeah. With it. They don't have an understanding of how the royalties actually work off of the book sale. The second problem with the thinking is that you're thinking too damn small. You got to think bigger, right? You don't want to be whiling away the hours trying to sell this book into hundreds of individual hands in order to make your money back. What you want the book to be able to do is showcase enough of your expertise in some platform, way, shape, or form that the client who is going to pay you your highest ticket offer signs on the dotted line. And that's because they read your book or your expertise. And this just happened to me recently. They haven't signed on the dotted line yet, but I got an email from a current lead who said, if I had any doubt that you were going to be my writing coach, it was completely solidified by the time I was done chapter 3 of Dear Universe, I Get It Now. I didn't tell her about that book when we met because it wasn't relevant at the time. I did tell her about this one, but this one wasn't like on her mind at the time. So she must have gone and found out that I had this other book that she was interested in. She bought it on her own accord and then wrote to me on her own accord and said, hey, having read three chapters of your first work, I know that you're the one for me. Now, she spends, I'm just putting out hypothetical figures. If she spends $10,000 working with me, then that one sale basically just paid for the investment I made in my book 3 years ago. And this is what I want authors to know. By 2025, I want them to have figured this out. And this also speaks to that piece that I said at the beginning. One of the foundational aspects before you begin is understanding your strategy. You've got to understand how you intend to use the book as a part of a revenue generator in order to understand how this is going to be possible and to work towards that end as you're working on the book.
Mm-hmm. Gold, Allie. Absolute gold. I had to put a little asterisk in my notes on that one. But it's true, especially on, like you said, thinking bigger outside of just this one-to-one transaction level. It's okay, I need to sell this to 1,000 people. Maybe not. Maybe you need to sell it to one person. And I think that perspective is huge. And that's something also when I think about the learning assets that maybe are a spinoff of your book or things that you can release from your book as well. It's the same concept. We don't want to think traditionally, so I need to sell 100 of these courses or 100 of these workbooks or 100 of these journals. It's we can really strategically align in different ways to have that experience be offered for someone at a higher price point in what you currently already offer, right? You're not offering anything different. You're still offering the same thing. It's just really allowing people a way in, but you can do that in a number of ways. And it's not always going to be just that they bought that one thing, right? Yeah. If they have a good experience with that one thing, they will attribute that good feeling, that goodwill to you, you know, in the next engagement. Yeah, I love that. So I'm curious, as I know I said we're going to wrap up before. We're going to wrap up for sure at some point. Like, how do I really listen?
We're done talking. When we're done.
So I would love for you to share the, like, how you specifically work with clients, and if they are at a stage of wanting to get started, where do you usually have them start with you?
Yeah. So it depends on where they're coming in from. If they're really new in terms of their deer in headlights, they've got no idea what it means to write a book or to publish a book or anything like that. They have a very loose idea that they want to write a book, but they don't even really have a concept for that book yet. I'd probably start them with just like a 60-minute, I call it a story starter. It's basically a consultation. I give them kind of the nuts and bolts, high level, writing and publishing a book. So they've got a foothold to help them understand what this whole journey is going to look like. If they've got more of a fully cooked idea, and they know that they want to write it, that they need the accountability as well as the mindset coach, as well as somebody to actually look at the words and provide developmental review, that I would say, okay, you need me as a book coach. I'll be with you on the journey as you're developing the manuscript, and we'll work on getting you through the manuscript. And I like to catch people before they've actually written anything. That way we can actually put that foundation in place first. Before we go too far down, it's a lot harder to have a bunch of pages written and then go backward than to just start strong and go ahead. And then, of course, there's people who have a really strong idea, but they know that they don't want to write it, but they do write the book. And then that would be ghostwriting. I'm writing it for them. Of the three, I really love that middle one the most. I love the coaching. I love to really dig in there with people's mindset and the strategy as well as the words and put those three pieces all together for them at one time. And as people would know following me, memoir is like my favorite genre to really play in. And just this year, I've combined a do-it-yourself masterclass that I was offering and a one-to-one individual program I was offering, and I put them together into a hybrid program. It's 12 weeks and it's called the Memoir Blueprint. And this is designed to get the aspiring memoirist to put together a customized outline and plan for them to write their book from. And in those 12 weeks together, they think about their audience, they think about their why, they think about what they want the book to do for them in the long run. They learn what memoir is and how to structure it, and they outline that story, build out a table of contents. And so by the time they leave, they've got their due north, like their GPS to then sit down and actually write the book and have it be really well developed and thought out according to not just that long-term plan, but also what memoir is supposed to be about.
Absolutely. That's phenomenal. I love that you combine them together. Yeah.
One of a long time ago. I don't know. I just didn't see it. I couldn't see it. And then all of a sudden it hit me over the head at the end of last year. And I was like, but that's the evolution, right? As a business
exactly.
owner.
Like, exactly.
All of a sudden you're like, these things need to marry each other. And then we have exactly what everybody needs.
I love it. And again, as we wrap up, I would love for you to share where folks can reach you, and then any last parting words of advice that you have for those that are tuning in.
The best place to come and check out is the website, because then you can get access to all the other things. So therightplacerighttime.com, and the first right is WRITE, and the last right is RIGHT. And then out of social media, I'm the most heavily engaged on LinkedIn. Would love for people to come and connect over there, follow me, check out Open Book Broadcast or a new live talk show that I'm doing once a month called Unscripted with Ali and Jen. And that's the Dish, the Dirt, the Deets on publishing, writing and publishing. So that one's a lot of fun and really valuable. And then of course, don't order a copy of Do Not Write a Book Until You Read This One. You need it.
I love that. Thank you, Ali, for joining me today. This was such a good conversation. Always fun talking to you. And I always learn something from you also when we get together. So this has been blessings always. For those tuning in, I'm going to link everything in the show notes to the episode. So you can go to our website, check out the books, and check out more of her as well on social media. Thank you guys for joining us. This has been an amazing time. Anything else you want to say, Ali?
Write the book because it won't write itself. That's it.
Enough said.
Enough.
Mic drop. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time. All right. That concludes another episode of The Author's Leverage. And I trust you're leaving today's conversation inspired and equipped to see your book as a source for so many possibilities. Before we part ways, I want to remind you to download your copy of the ebook and its digital companion workbook, 5 Ways to Get More Bang for Your Book. Again, it's a roadmap that's going to be useful to help you unlock the full potential of your book. Find it on our website, connect with us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, and share it along with a fellow author. Until next time, remember that your words have the power to change lives. So keep innovating, keep leveraging, and keep making an extraordinary impact. We'll see you next time.